And we are now being joined by Chuck O'Chelly, and we're also having another person, Daniel Lewis, I believe, added to the call. Very unscheduled guest, but we will say hello. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Benny. Actually, it's Daniel Lewis Crumpton that also has a show on American Freedom Radio, as do I. Yeah, it is kind of unscheduled, but it's because of the breaking news.
I understand. I understand. I assumed.
So, Daniel, are you on the line now?
Yeah, I'm here, Chuck. Hey, Vinny, how are you doing?
I'm sort of all over the place because breaking news usually ain't my thing. Don't normally cover the news. I usually wait for a couple of days after all the news has come out so we can analyze it, break it down for people, and get that kind of thing. However, this is such an important thing that I'm going to disregard my own rules on this. So I want to... First of all, I want to see if I can categorize this based upon just the headlines that I've been reading. I've been getting sent stuff all throughout the show today. I haven't actually been able to listen 100% to my guests, actually. I'm quite ashamed of that. Maybe I was listening about 90%. But Ammon Bundy has been arrested, and a follower of his has been killed. We also have scattered reports that Pete Santilli has been arrested, and this has all happened in Oregon during an alleged... traffic stop where shots were fired. Now, I don't know much more information than that, and we're still having stuff come in as it goes. So, gentlemen, if you would, please fill in the blanks for me if you can.
Well, I'll give you a couple of crossed over reports that I've been able to observe. Of course, this started to break while I was doing my live show as well, so I appreciate it, although I did interrupt my discussion just like you did to try and cover the facts as they were emerging.
Fortunately, and, my discussion was ended due to a technical difficulty, and you guys came on seconds afterwards without any interruption to the broadcast whatsoever. There is a synchronistic kind of... we need to be doing this. This is the right thing to do right now at this particular time sort of vibe going on. Sorry to interrupt, but yes.
No, no problem. Right now we have multiple reports that LeVoy Finicum, who was one of the individuals that was along with Ammon Bundy and the rest of those who have been described as the occupiers there at the Wildlife Refuge, is reported as being killed. That's the individual who the mainstream media is apparently not naming just yet, although that may have changed in the past few minutes. It is an emerging story. Yeah, this was done during a traffic stop. There is the report, and in multiple places, not just according to certain people's live streaming capabilities, but according to multiple reports from different journalists, we do have the arrest of Pete Santilli and all that kind of good stuff. Now, What is horrible to me at this point is that this is nearly precisely the scenario that that some of us were speaking about off the air when we were trying to talk to some of these guys up there, that that this is exactly what was going to happen if people were allowed to continue amping up the situation and putting out, you know, very much hyperbolic language and trying to amp up the presence of it, you know, for their own benefit. Okay. And I think I think you know exactly who I'm talking about, Vinny.
You do realize that this is why I'm on American Freedom Radio and no other network, because we don't tolerate that kind of BS here.
You're damn right, and that's exactly correct. You know, I know Daniel has a lot to say. One of his friends and the individuals that we interviewed just 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Daniel, on your show, was also present. As of right now, I have no report that Jason Patrick has been injured, although we're having a hard time getting a hold of him.
Well, I do have a line of communication with Jason Patrick. We did interview him on Zen in the Car Radio when this was in its second week. So far, what we do know is Patrick is safe. He is at the refuge. The rumors are true that Blaine Cooper has assumed command of the refuge and is intending to stand his ground, despite the fact that the FBI have given them an invitation to leave and are urging them to do so immediately. There still are women and children who are at the refuge. This is probably going to go south very quickly. But Danny Romero just sent me a joint statement by the FBI and the Oregon State Police. I'm going to go ahead and read it so we can get our facts straight, if that's okay. Is that all right, Vinny?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been sent the exact same one here, so I'll be taking screenshots as we go and editing that into the video. Go right ahead.
At approximately 6:30 p.m. PST, the FBI arrested Peter Santilli, age 50, of Cincinnati, Ohio, in Burns, Oregon. He faces the same federal felony charges as the individuals listed below. The arrest was without incident. At approximately 4:25 p.m. PST on Tuesday, January 26, 2016, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Oregon State Police began an enforcement action to bring into custody a number of individuals associated with the armed occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. During that arrest, there were shots fired. One individual who was a subject of a federal probable cause arrest is deceased. We will not be releasing any information about that person pending identification by the medical examiner's office. One individual suffered non-life-threatening injuries and was transported to a local hospital for treatment. He was arrested and is currently in custody. The arrested individuals include Ammon Bundy, age 40, of Emmett, Idaho, Ryan C. Bundy, age 43, of Bunkerville, Nevada, Brian Cavalier, age 44, of Bunkerville, Nevada, Shauna Cox, age 59, Kanab, Utah, Ryan Whalen Payne, age 32, of Anaconda, Montana. These probable cause arrests occurred along Highway 395. In a separate event in Burns, Oregon, at approximately 5:50 p.m., Oregon State Police arrested the following individual, Joseph Donald Oshogany, age 45, Cottonwood, Arizona. All the named defendants face a federal felony charge of conspiracy to impede officers of the United States from discharging their official duties through the use of force, intimidation, or threats in violation of Title 18, United States Code Section 372. We continue to work with Harney County Sheriff Dave Ward and his deputies, Oregon State Police, and the United States Attorney's Office to address any further outstanding issues as the investigation is ongoing. We cannot comment further at this time. All defendants should be presumed innocent until proven guilty. And I will, as a side note, it has been confirmed through multiple sources that the deceased is Lavoy Finnicum, who was shot three times in the chest on site.
And this incident has indeed been reported by a number of reputable sources. And when I say reputable, I don't necessarily mean that they 100% truth, etc. But we've got the Huffington Post in Australia already reporting on it. We have Coin6, K-O-I-N-6. I believe that is a Cincinnati news investigation. If I remember correctly, they were the people that did the story about Santilli leaving Cincinnati and getting pulled over with a handgun that he was not jailed for at all. We have Bill Mayer's Facebook page. I've not heard of him, but he says, FBI now says they've arrested internet reporter Pete Santilli, who was embedded with the Burns occupation. He's facing the same felony charges as the rest. We also have Al Jazeera America reporting on this as well. Leaders of Oregon militia occupation arrested at traffic stop, and of course the FBI joint statement. So we can really conclude from the collection of sources that we've managed to open up here that this is a pretty big and serious incident.
Why this is a serious incident, Vinny, let's be honest here. We saw this starting to emerge and starting to turn south, okay, because this was being disseminated in such a way to incite and invite this kind of action. You have all sorts of evidence which has now been collected of various activities that I would call personally, and this is my own personal view, understand. The guys on this program may not share it, does not matter. I don't care who shares it. There were ill-advised actions taken by these individuals that I do believe they were being misled. And I think they were being sort of cheered on by a carnival barker, whom we have already identified quite thoroughly here. And I'm going to tell you right now that I think that this was very purposely done, that something that could have gone in a very non-violent fashion, that something that could have been resolved in a far different way, may now get even more ugly as time goes on here, because once they begin an enforcement action, once the federal government begins an action like this, it is not likely that they're going to simply back down. I mean, we've got one body attached to this now. There are multiple reports of other injuries as well. We don't know the severity of those. I haven't been able to confirm it, let's put it that way. What, so I wouldn't reliably tell people about that yet.
What we've also been unable to confirm is who fired first.
Yeah, we can't confirm that. If you are looking at certain live feeds, what you are hearing is that the feds fired first and that Lavoy Finicum had his hands up in the air, which I would doubt that information because there would be nobody at the scene that is not either in custody or at the hospital besides the feds.
Exactly.
So I would kind of dismiss any of that information that the feds fired first. I would also like to issue a warning to any of the American militia who are listening or people who consider themselves to be in the Patriot movement to wait until we have all of the information before we do anything rash. This is not the time for any type of action that's going to spark something that we cannot take back.
As Alex Ansari mentioned on his show, the lot of people who are mentally unstable and a lot of who are mentally deficient get attracted to incidents and actions like this by the hyped up media commentary that we have come to expect from the fake alternative media, right? And that is the entire reason, and I want to confess something here. I've been going after Pete Santilli this year. I had to actually cut my holiday short because I found out that he was going into Oregon, and we had to expose him to make sure that he wouldn't be able to get people killed, right? And this is the thing. It is an incredibly serious situation. More lives are probably on the line. There are still children at that refuge, as far as I'm aware. And the last time Santilli got arrested for something, he was let go without charge within hours and then had his case dismissed from court the next day. So we're going to have to wait and see what the results are on this, and also the leaked facts document confirming that he was working for the FBI in 2013-2014 during the Truckers Ride for the Constitution protest is also another very interesting variable. So I'm quite interested to see how this FBI asset will get out of this one.
Well, Vinny, Chuck knows this is a very personal issue for me because I do have personal friends there who are on the ground, and I don't want to make this about Pete Santilli at all. However,
of course,
there are some things that I think that do need to be addressed. For example, me and Chuck have extensively covered the fact that whenever this refuge was seized, there was no shootout of any type, that the place was completely abandoned and the doors were open, the keys and all the equipment were easily accessible. That needs to make people raise their eyebrows. As I said on a show yesterday, if I'm leaving my home for the weekend and I'm not expecting anyone to come in and take care of my dog or, you know, take care of any maintenance, I'm locking my home. I'm not going to leave the keys under the mat. I'm not leaving the back door unlocked. That is not what happened here at this refuge. This place was open, unattended, and the keys were sitting there pretty as you please. That is very suspect to me. Now, another thing that's very suspect to me is how the FBI knew the itinerary of the Bundys specifically today. How is it that they knew exactly where the Bundys would be, where they would be going, and when, and how many people were there? Now, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science to try to connect the dots that there might be someone who might be live streaming information directly to them.
Well, that, in addition to the fact that you have to consider when looking at this that, look, there is a legitimate reason in this country for many people to be angry. There is legitimate reason for those of us who speak out against government intimidation, against government abuses, to make the statements that we do. It does not mean, however, that that all actions in order to effect a change here are required or advisable. okay? And this is something that needs to be kept in mind. I'm very glad that you said that about other militia members or anyone who may be listening to this who may feel as though they are now incited, because I am already seeing emerge from not only that one particular individual, but a few others, that that this is going to be some sort of a rallying call to rise up and to cause more damage. This entire situation got out of hand when they lost control of the narrative. They lost control of the situation, and it screams, I'm sorry, maybe it's just my suspicious mind. Again, my opinion, I identify it as such. It screams at me that this is some sort of a setup in order to take back and sort of smear the efforts of individuals who are trying to do legitimate things to speak back to the power which has abused us, all of us in this country, quite long enough. So that's what I see it as—is as a derailing and completely diluting factor that's been introduced into the situation. And when all the smoke clears, there are going to be a lot of fingers to be pointed. And I hope we are all prepared for that. And of course, I'm trying to be as honest and controlled about this as possible. I realize it's personal to you, Daniel. I feel personal about it as well. There are others. I don't want to see others incited to come to the rescue in this situation or any of this other kind of a concept that I'm already seeing spread around in communications.
Well, and like I said, yeah. I mean, from the beginning, me and you both wanted to believe in this thing, and it quickly became obvious that this is something that was not very well thought out, at least from a Patriot point of view. It was very well thought out. Now that we're seeing it unfold the way that it is, it's obvious it was very clearly well thought out, not in the way that perhaps some of the protesters imagined. But this is.
Are you saying that this is kind of like a Patriot honeypot to get people in there so that they can be forced into a compromising position?
Well, Vinny, what I am saying is that after the mainstream media took the narrative and basically used a smear campaign for anybody who mentions the word constitutional or stands up for the Bill of Rights to be backwoods hillbillies who are willing to take over a refuge, now that that portrait has been painted here in the United States of America, it's kind of obvious why the FBI sat on their hands as long as they did while the PR campaign went about. Now it's going to be very, after this event, anyone like myself who is a political activist that speaks about the Bill of Rights, we're going to be very hard-pressed to have any audience that's going to give us any bit of validity or the attention that is deserved. They're going to hear the word Constitution or Bill of Rights. They're immediately going to think of a bunch of cowboys out of the refuge, and they're going to walk away.
You might be right, and I think this is it's COINTELPRO. That's all that it is. You're trying to get an incident in order to sway public opinion against the very people who are resisting the tyrannical government. That is the point that we're looking at here. I mean, my issues with Santilli's side, this is actually about the Constitution. However, what's happening inside that kind of media bubble is they're trying to turn the Constitution into a dirty word. They're trying to turn patriot into the word terrorist, aren't they?
And
well, right. That's exactly why they immediately introduced the buzzwords, like vanilla ISIS and all of this kind of thing. It was absolutely introduced, in a very precise manner. And that's why, in fact, the mainstream media coverage on this died off quite a bit. So you are left only with the hyperbolic, irresponsible, asinine antics of a guy who shows up in a cowboy hat and decides to convolute his constitutional rights publicly at meetings and things like that. I'm extremely, extremely angry that this is the type of behavior that has been spotlighted through this.
Now, Chuck,
so I apologize, but I'm very sickened by it because this was extremely predictable and could have been avoided.
Now, Chuck, okay, we are also now joined by Alex Zanseri of Outside the Box TV to weigh in on this. Alex, welcome to the program. We've got four American Freedom Radio show hosts on the same call. I don't think we've ever done this before, have we? All right, go for your life, Alex.
Yeah, thank you, Vinny. I've been watching this story as well for the last month.
So what do you make of it? I'm not sure if you've actually been brought into the protest, but we've gone through and we've had a look at the mainstream media headlines that have come out just very, very recently within the last few hours following this instance. Does anybody know the exact time frame that this happened? Did it happen an hour ago, 2 hours ago? How long?
Reports I've seen cite times of about 5 p.m. Pacific, anywhere from 4:30 to 5 p.m. to 5:30 Pacific. In that window of time, it seems as though the incident was touched off. That's the best I can gather. I have not gotten that confirmed by anybody on the ground because nobody was watching the time.
But that actually does seem to be news jumping on it in a very quick succession, 4 hours into it. And we have basically a media circus around this, you know. Mainstream media just dropped off, nothing. There was nothing but the alternative, hardcore, extreme right-wing shock jock type of coverage to it. And then all of a sudden, those people doing that exact same coverage all wind up getting arrested together in the same incident, and then the mainstream media weigh in droves, right? Anyway, we've got Alex Ansari here. Now, Alex, something you said on your broadcast the other day about the mentally unstable and the mentally challenged people being attracted to incidents like this, I would like you to you related this to other infiltrators and things like that that have happened in the past in America, infiltrating movements, co-opting them, etc. Could you just give us a little bit of a spiel about that?
Yeah, I see a certain gullibility factor with people that are getting behind this and spending all time online promoting this and becoming fanatical with this whole thing. And, it's just very involved. They've actually given this a lot of thought. And, you know, all I could say right now is this is the most disturbing thing that I've ever seen in the alternative media as far as a deception. Like 9/11 being a deception. When you see this many people get behind, what I and a lot of other people have been calling a psyops. So there's a lot of points I could make. One I could is that, you know, a lot of people have suspected Pete of being a FBI informant. And he's really been trying to take that and act like a lot of us have seen him act like he's confronting the FBI or exposing the FBI.
Alex,
and
Alex,
some absurd things.
I'm so sorry to stop you, but we've got typing and we've got Skype messages in the background. Guys, if you want to mute your mics and or go to your Skype notifications and turn off those sounds, sure. Please. Sorry, Alex, continue.
And so a lot of people that are believing what Pete is saying, he's been just fabricating a lot of really insane things over the course of last week. And, you know, it's really it's just really sad. It's actually very sad because it tells me where consciousness is. If they can be misled to something like this, they can't be misled to other things and other deceptions down the line. And this whole issue with BLM corruption and Agenda 21 obviously is a very serious thing. And the issue is a lot of these guys have really questionable backgrounds. And the good thing is on YouTube, we've seen a lot of people talk about this, the background of Blaine Cooper, or also known as Stanley Hicks, with 14 felonies and Vinny's fabulous documentary on Pete Santilli. But there's just so much more about each one of these characters. John Ritzmeyer, you know, I was scratching my head going, this guy is on Blaine Cooper's YouTube channel blowing up Qurans and, you know, doing other insightful things. And no one seems to see anything wrong with this. And so, you know, it's distressing. What it does for me is I don't want to be involved in any group at this point, especially anyone using sovereign citizen language. And it's a longer explanation. I won't do it now, Vinny. But there was a guy that came to Costilla County that acted like he was there to help the off-the-gridders. And his name was Bruce Doucette. And he said we should arrest Costilla County here in Colorado. And there were people looking at him and his militia friend his militia friend that he brought in, Roger Marsh, like they were federal agents. Roger Marsh was talking about a rapid response team. And so I was exposing Roger Marsh when he was here. This was just a few months ago. And conveniently, they arrested him. What's happening tonight makes me wonder if maybe, you know, Roger Marsh and Bruce Doucette were a part of a larger network to rally together, you know, people that are pissed off about being disenfranchised, kicked off their land, having horrible things happen to them, to radicalize them. Bruce Doucette went to Oregon last week. So there's an article about a self-appointed grand jury judge or something like that, who was going to arrest the officials in Burns, Oregon. That was the same guy that came here.
Now, Alex, we have one more caller to come in. In fact, he was my guest yesterday, okay. Thomas Lacovera Stewart, who I believe was in Burns not too long ago. Thomas, can you hear me? Thomas, are you on the line there? We've unmuted you there.
I can hear me.
I can. Are you still there in Burns?
I'm not in Burns, but I'm close by.
Okay. Can you give us your perspective on this incident that's just kind of like blown up today?
Yeah, I can. I kind of figured that this was kind of the way it was going to happen. I was hoping I was wrong. I saw Pete Santilli provoking the FBI, getting in their face, and whether or not he's part of a PSYOP or part of the grand plan or whether he's just a provocateur, it was not a professional way to cover it, and it wasn't. I had a huge problem with it. Other people around me apparently were comfortable with the coverage, I guess, because they were getting their moment of fame. This was not a moment of fame type of thing. This was a very serious situation where people's lives hung in the balance, and I took it seriously. I went in there to report the truth, and the truth as I saw it. I can't report too much about the grand jury because I've only spoken to them a few times. I don't know much about the process. I know that their legal footing and their legal explanation is accurate. The problem is that we have been for a very long time usurped. So there, it's really people who want to affect change so badly and have legal arguments and mostly historians who can point out factual things that have happened in our history that have usurped the rights of the people under the Constitution. That is, there is no doubt about that. It cannot be debated. Not by anyone who knows history or anything about it. But the situation, my biggest problem with it, and I have to be honest about it, was the kids. I can't tell you. I'm pretty kind of actually.
I'm not sure if that's you in the background typing there, Chuck. Maybe.
It is not me.
No, I was muted, sir.
Okay, must have been somebody else. Well, Tom, thank you very much for dropping in, man. I think we'll actually let you go and get some sleep because we're going to be going into an emergency third hour now on American Freedom Radio, and we have open lines now, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to call in, if you are in Burns, if you are listening to this live broadcast, if you would like to share your thoughts with us, if you had some information or something of that nature, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. So, Tom, thank you very much. So, guys, we've got a big problem here, okay? Because it's breaking news, all the facts haven't come in yet. We don't know exactly what it is we are dealing with. This is the reason why I usually don't cover breaking news on this show, because when it's breaking, you don't know what the news actually is. Right? But what we do know is what's happened leading up to this. Now, Thomas made an interesting point there about how Santilli was antagonizing and getting in the face of the FBI and brought up the word provocateur. Provocateur is a French word, right? And the problem is when people hear that word, they don't know what it means, okay? It just basically means you're the person who's provoking a response. Now, in the modern context, what a provocateur does is he works for the enemies of freedom, the enemies of humanity, and then goes out and pretends to be on humanity's side, right? In order to provoke a violent action and response from the authorities for whom they're actually working. Now, this does raise some interesting questions about it, because we do know a lot of the background, as Alex has elucidated here, that this is something that's gone through and happened in American history quite a lot. Whether or not this is what's happening now, if there was some kind of provocation of the FBI during that altercation with the seven men who were pulled over in one vehicle. Whose vehicle was it, I wonder? And why did the FBI stop them? They say it was a routine. They said it was a routine stop for a number of different sources. So we are sort of, we're swimming in the waters here, full of sharks, and we don't know which facts are actually facts yet. We don't know who's responsible. We don't know who fired first. All we know is one person has been killed, one person has been wounded, and we know that Pete Santilli has been arrested, as well as the other people who were in the car at the time. So I don't know exactly what to make of this or what the outcome is going to be. I've just got super, super just spider sense vibes going off right now with this. You know, it just,
All right. And you know what, Vinny, for good reason. Okay, because now let's just add to your definition of a provocateur and give an example. I will explain this to you. I was present at a 9/11 rally in New York City. Okay, and when that group of individuals was being, well, it seemed as though, see, here comes another word, infiltrated by others who wished to go in there and turn a peaceful action into something else by going throughout the group and making statements like, let's do this and let's do that, which were encouraging others to participate in criminal activities such as the destruction of property, which was not what the protest was about. It was about raising public awareness regarding the 9/11 incident and trying to get people to think about it and things like that. You know what happened? These individuals came in and started talking about breaking windows. They started talking about destroying things on the street to make their point. And these were people that didn't seem to come with any of the others who seemed to know each other a little bit, who seemed to have friends there, et cetera, et cetera. A little bit out of place. And we identified them at that point in time as individuals that were there to be provocateurs. Does that sound like a fair thing to say, Vinny?
Conceivably. However, I wanted to go back to Tom. He's actually still on the line with us.
Okay.
I've just muted him and he was still on there, and he is now unmuted. Thomas, you say that you know who's been killed, who's injured, etc.
Yeah, Finnegan is dead, dude.
Can you give us some background, because I've not heard the name.
Well, Lavoy Finnegan is otherwise known, some people called him Tartman. Tartman was the guy, the rancher that came out that had 11 children. Foster children. This man was salt of the earth. He was one of the, if you look back into the 1800s and you look at the ideal picture of a honorable, law-abiding man, this picture of Lavoy Finnegan is what you would see. When the clash of cultures comes so harshly together that a man like Lavoy Finnegan feels like he needs to stand and do what he did, and I'm not condoning, and I'm not in any other way saying that you should stand in front of law enforcement and violently kill them. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when the cultures have clashed to the point where you can take a man like that, who you could, if you broke down in front of his ranch, he would help you, and he would bring you in, he would feed you, he would care for you. that type of salt of the earth individual, when you push them to the point where they feel like they have no other alternative, our society has become sick. And that is who died tonight. He was a good man. And I think that that should be mentioned. I know that not many people agreed with him, and I understand that. But I just think that, LaVoy, he was a good man. He wasn't a bad man. He felt like the society had become sick. And he's right. And you look at people like Santilli. He's a symptom of the disease. And Santilli out there bullhorning the FBI, making things like it was a reality show, sending cameras down in to film Blaine Cooper's children being picked up. Horrible. It wasn't reporting. It wasn't professional. It was sensationalism. The man ought to be, you know what I think.
All right. Now, in fairness, we did represent that in the, you might not have heard it, in the FBI's joint statement, law enforcement's joint statement. And also, I stated when I came on at first that it had been confirmed through multiple sources that this is the man who died. Of course, he was, if people don't know who he was interviewed on CNN one time. I know that for sure. Sorry?
MSNBC and Fox News as well.
Yes. Okay. I wasn't aware of that, but either way, this is an individual whom apparently you had more interaction with. I just simply reported it. I wasn't making any other statement about it. Just reporting it as something that could be confirmed from multiple sources. But there you go. It seemed as though, according to his own statements, you would say that this was a man who was characterized exactly as you just characterized him. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know the circumstances by which he lost his life, except that it was certainly at the hands of a firearm that was held by a federal agent. That's what appears to be obvious at this point in time. Anything else, though, is speculation. Unless you have some other information regarding what exactly happened.
I do know that the person known as Fluffy Unicorn was almost always, absolutely always, by Ammon's side. I also have reason to believe that and before the reports came out, that Ryan Payne was present. I believe that what they were attempting to achieve was a meeting in the adjacent county with allegedly, and I can't confirm this, but this came from more sources close to what's going on there. It was allegedly to meet with officials or friends of officials or people that wanted to come forward in the next county about some level of corruption in that county and what they could do about convening a committee of safety, similar to what was convened in Harney County at the recommendation of Ammon Bundy. That's why their committee of safety was actually formed. So there was a vote at the committee of safety meeting in Harney County as to whether they wanted the occupiers to go. And the vote was split 3-3. 3 said yes, and 3 said not so much, because they had woken up a lot of people as to the constitutional violations and usurpations by the federal government and corruption by local officials that enabled it, and that is what I was trying to get a story on when I was violently pushed out by Pete Santilli. Now, why would Pete Santilli not want me to cover such a thing is another cause for speculation and question. when I criticized the sensationalism aspect, I never said anything about knocking Pete out or replacing him. I just saw the level of psyopery or scumbaggery, as Vinny so eloquently puts it. I judge him. All of these bits and pieces of information about Santilli that are out there, and Vinny has a documentary, and a lot of other people have pieces out there. And all I have to say is my piece, my testament to the the psyop nature of Peter Santilli. His actions speak louder than words. He tore apart Mark Connors and the Mark Connors show for using a clip, just a snippet of his is live feed, which is news, which Pete has used other news stations repeatedly on his show and their clips without sending them a dollar. And he tore this man's head open like he was, there were demons inside of him, screaming and hollering at him for using one of his clips because he's there for himself. And dude, just the entire narcissistic nature. The first night that I was in Burns, the first night I sat down in a room with Peter Santilli, and the one thing that I said to him, and it was a test question, by the way, just to establish what his psychological mindset was. I had said to him, I said, you can't focus on more than one thing, can you? And it was something who, if somebody, anyone knows a textbook narcissist would know the reaction that was about to come. He made everything in the room stop, and he made everyone tell me how not only can he multitask, but he's one of the most intelligent people that can do it in the world. That is Jim Jones-ish, dude. That is not normal. That is narcissism. That's unstable mental. Well, I think you get the point.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't claim to analyze him or know what's inside of his mind. I can tell you this, though, just as an outside observer, what I was able to witness through this guy's so-called coverage of the situation was a completely irresponsible, provocative presentation, which was meant to do nothing but incite the viewer slash listener to excite, to exaggerate, to create a hyperbolic situation in the observer's mind. That is an absolute fact. I don't think anybody on this line or anybody looking at it objectively would state otherwise. So that can be said without question. Wouldn't you agree?
I would have to agree with that. And, coming in from a very good friend, someone that I know and that I trust from KOIN, out of Burns, Oregon, Arizona rancher Lavoie Finicum, the de facto spokesman for the militia at Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, was killed after a confrontation with FBI and Oregon State Police on Tuesday, sources confirmed to CNN. Ryan Bundy, oh Lord, Ryan Bundy was also shot, but is expected to survive. The standoff reached a boiling point Tuesday afternoon when 7 people were arrested, including militia leaders Em and Ryan. While on Highway 395, the group was en route to John Day, where a meeting about the refuge occupation was being held. The FBI did not officially confirm Finicum was killed. Shots were fired after FBI agents, Oregon State Police, and other authorities made the stop. It is not clear who fired first. This was reported by CBS. Finicum began being face-to-face the militia leader. It goes on to say, and you can read the article. I'll post a link to it and give Lavinia a link to it on KOIN.com. Apparently,
Ryan, I have the article right here in front of me.
Yep. Well, there you have it, folks. Let's just say some prayers for everybody, because no matter what anyone believed, whether they were right, wrong, or indifferent, or whether it was a psyop, or whether it was triggered or provoked, or any other thing, at the Bundy Ranch, I got to know the Bundys. I broke bread with the Bundys. I've prayed with the Bundys. They're good, salt-of-the-earth people. And I know that if they were in any way triggered to feel the need to do what they did so because they believed in what they were doing. And they believed it was right. So whatever anyone has to say about that, I know that there are differing sides to that. However, I stand with the, always will stand with the supporting and defending the Constitution. And I think that many usurpations that violated it brought us to this point, and that the government has some responsibility and some things to answer for here. And that's just my position on it. Thank you, fellas, for hearing what I had to say.
Thomas, thank you so much for coming in. And I know that you're really hurting right now, brother. And I know that this incident has actually been quite shocking for you, because you know Ammon personally, and now that he's in jail and everything, you have my sympathy and my support, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Have a good sleep, man.
God bless all of you. Thank you.
Well, there we have it, Thomas Lacavera Stewart, going now to bed. I have this, just kind of still this feeling, this pit in my stomach. And if we can go through and actually name and have a look at some of these people here, because it's breaking news, very little information is going to come out while we're actually on this broadcast at the moment. However, as I said earlier, we can look backwards and we can also read out these articles. I was thinking I wanted to read out this one from the Huffington Post, if you guys will let me in, unless you've got something to add real quick. I'll take that as a no. All right. The Huffington Post, Australia. Ammon Bundy arrested, follower killed during confrontation with law enforcement in Oregon. Ammon Bundy, leader of the month-long militant occupation of the National Wildlife Refuge in Burns, Oregon, was arrested Tuesday on a highway confrontation with law enforcement that killed one of his followers and wounded another, according to the FBI. Bundy and four followers were arrested in a traffic stop in which shots were fired, the FBI said in a statement. The FBI said the shootings happened when agents, along with Oregon State Troopers, stopped a vehicle to arrest people involved in the armed occupation on charges of conspiracy to impede federal officials from discharging their duties. During that arrest, there were shots fired, the FBI said. One individual who was a subject of the federal probable cause arrest is deceased. One individual suffered non-life-threatening injuries. A sixth person involved in the occupation was arrested about 90 minutes later in Burns, the FBI said. So they weren't all in the same car. There was just somebody else that they wound up grabbing. We have been informed that Ammon was taken into custody while outside the refuge and that shots were fired, but confirmation of these details is still lacking, the Bundy Ranch said on its Facebook page. Guys, would one of you be able to quickly bring up the Bundy Ranch Facebook page to see what they're saying on there? We can get into that in a second. KTVZ reported a medical helicopter was sent to Burns on Tuesday afternoon. The Harney District Hospital in the city was on lockdown following the reports, and 56 miles of highway was closed by the Oregon Department of Transportation between the refuge and the city of John Day. Bundy and several other militants occupying the refuge had been expected to attend a town meeting in the town on Tuesday evening. Isn't that interesting? Right before the actual important town meeting, this happens. Still smells fishy. Like, every single thing that I read smells a little bit fishy. Bundy and his armed anti-government group had occupied a building in the Mallow Refuge since early January. They seized the area in support of two ranchers jailed for arson and in protest of federal management of public land. That concludes the Huffington Post article. Any comments or observations, guys?
Well, one thing is this, the tactical concept that there was a need to catch them in transit is not necessarily suspicious in and of itself. This may have been a tactical concern as opposed to anything else. It may have been predetermined quite a ways back that they were going to take them into custody in some way or other. I think that, honestly, it seems as though it would have been a whole lot more efficient to do it without the gunfire. Here I am taking an objective standpoint as best I can. That's the way it seems to me. I wouldn't say that in and of itself is a problem. Now, the use of the word militant and the use of, again, all of these interesting characterizations by the media, well, what do you expect? That's all I've got to say about it.
I'll say this, Vinny, if you don't mind.
For your life.
I'm a political activist. I believe in the Constitution, but you know, from nearly the beginning of this thing, I have made it very obvious that this was a poor move. And one of the reasons I believe it was a poor move is because in 2014, at the original Bundy standoff, it was made absolutely clear by the militia specifically. And, you know, I know this is personal for you because he hit your finances with YouTube. It's also personal for me. But Pete Santilli was live, on live stream, making it absolutely clear that he understood that the Bureau of Land Management was a privately owned company, that it was a for-profit organization, not a part of the federal government. That was the basis for their standoff there. Now, in 2014, if you're going to stake that claim that it's a privately owned corporation, And then here at the Malheur Refuge, you're going to base your entire siege of the refuge, that it's a government overreach. And then you quote Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, which is specific to the federal government, as if you completely just brushed everything that you said in 2014 under the rug. Now, this was poorly executed, it was poorly thought out, and it was on very shaky logic to begin with. And I've been, you know, I'm new to radio as far as being a radio show host and American Freedom Radio, but I have been warned by several people and have watched extensively all of your coverage of exactly what Pete Santilli is. And I'll say this, because it is personal to me, and I know that there are a lot of alternative media personalities out there who are afraid to go up against him because he has an army of trolls, or is willing to sue you, or is willing to take down your YouTube channel or hack your website. I don't know if he's a federal informant or not. I don't know if that fax was photoshopped or not. But at this point, it's irrelevant, because anyone who has watched this thing from the beginning, specifically from his live feed, knows he doesn't have to be an agent provocateur, but he sure as hell is a prophet provocateur. And from the beginning of this thing, he has put those people in that refuge in harm's way. And for what? For YouTube subscriptions? For donations? To get his name out there? And now a man is dead? More people may be dead? Now, it's obvious to me, you know, you can really tell who does this because it's something that they're passionate about, and who's doing this to make a name for themselves, to get in front of cameras, to use bullhorns and rip off Alex Jones, for God's sake, as if those tricks haven't been done before. But now a man is dead. More people may end up dead. And, you know, I'm hoping and praying, but by the time that this is done, that the blame of this debacle needs to be put at the feet of the person who is solely responsible for escalating this situation to the point of gunfire, for ratings, for subscriptions, and that is Pete Santilli.
Well, can
another
I
thing?
I want well, another, to. Oh, go ahead, okay. Chuck. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's just I wanted to throw in one more thing, because you mentioned the first incident at the Bundy Ranch, and, you know, our friend Mr. Santilli was there as well. Okay, and you know what I retain from taking a quick look at his live feed back then was that this is the man who was running down the street screaming about, this is it, this is the time, this is all things coming undone, and you know what, next we're going to American Spring, screaming and running down the road, okay, during a time when it was responsibly handled, when not a shot was fired, when things were kept cool despite a whole lot of problems that could have erupted from that situation in Nevada. Okay?
Well, we see the same thing that happened here. We see it was within the first 2 days he was reporting that the FBI were staging at the high school. And then when we actually get cameras there, there's not even a janitor there. And then on his next broadcast, he doesn't even address the fact that he outright lied.
That's what he does. It's just a constant 30 years of nothing but lying and deceiving people for his own self-benefit. Now, that's the character of Pete Santilli. Again, whether or not he's working with the FBI, or rather whether or not he's still working with the FBI, we don't know exactly what the game plan is. But in terms of that fact, I just want to get this out, because a lot of people have questioned it and they don't know whether or not it's genuine. However, I want to kind of like put that to bed a little bit for some people by just denoting some of the facts about it. So, so far, nobody has actually really given me any evidence to refute that document or anything in it. For example, the speech that is used in that document that Santilli allegedly sent to the FBI sounds exactly like Santilli. It has the same poor grammar as Santilli, has the same threatening nature of Santilli and was sent to a real fax number at an FBI field office. It mentioned Operation Out Truck and was complaining about myself and Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com exposing him at the exact time and date myself and Suzanne were exposing him. He also mentioned in that document a high-level FBI operative, Daphne Hearns, who was handpicked for her position by the deputy director of the FBI. The I believe the San Diego division was what she took over. We also have a screenshot of the fax and fax program on his computer. Pete admits that his computer was hacked. He admits that all the documents were real, but only denied the incriminating facts that showed he was working with the feds. Now, if somebody can please provide me any documented form of evidence to the contrary, I'm more than happy to look at it, more than happy to listen to it. However, so far, the only thing I have seen is basically speculation, supposition, and disbelief and denial, and that's not journalism, unfortunately. Now, despite these facts, most people will still fall for Santilli's charms, regardless of what evidence to the contrary they're shown, because they're simply too dumb, too naive, too crazy, and too hyped up on being a gun-toting, patriotic Christian crusader to even notice that Santilli's behavior and track record has more red flags than the entire country of China.
Well, Vinny, you know, like I said, it's irrelevant if he's an FBI, if he's on the dole or not. I mean,
Are you sure? I dispute that. I think this is actually totally relevant considering the shootout happened with the FBI.
Let me finish the statement. From my point of view, it is irrelevant because of if he isn't and what he's doing solely for profit is disgusting enough. But I will like to point this out. It is very suspect to notice that he was arrested shortly before the entire Oregon situation happened, and he was let go on $0 bail. Now, also, if you go back to the 2014 incident, he was very close with a gentleman by the name of Mark Kessler. You familiar with that person, Vinny?
It rings a bell. Wasn't there somebody who was an FBI informant revealed later on, yeah, or something?
Exactly. Mark Kessler was supposed to be the founder and, I guess, the Supreme Lord General.
Are you sure it was Kessler? I thought the name was Mark Meckler.
No, it was Kessler.
Okay.
Trust me, it was
Sorry,
Kessler.
Sorry, my recollection's a little bit fuzzy on that. Please continue.
So, yeah, he was a retired chief police who dubbed himself, you know, Supreme Lord General or whatever, of the Constitutional Security Force, which was supposed to be a militia which united all of these independent militias here in the States under his banner. It was very obvious to me and anybody who watched any of his YouTube videos that he was working for the feds to get information on people who are in the militia, who do intend to stamp to the federal government in the event of something like martial law. Shortly after the Nevada incident, and if you go back and you look at any of the YouTube videos, Mark Kessler, as a matter of fact, a lot of the lingo that Pete Santilli uses is a direct lift from Mark Kessler. The word libtard, and excuse my French, is it okay if I curse on your show, Vinny?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, fucktard. The fucktard, libtard lingo came directly from Mark Kessler, who shortly thereafter issued to all these people who were in the Constitutional Security Force applications, which required all sorts of personal information, such as social security numbers, I think bank account information, things of that nature. And then, of course, he goes on the Alan Combs show and says that the entire thing was an act and that he was approached by the FBI to gather information for them. Now, I don't know if Pete Santilli's ever addressed the fact that Mark Kessler came out as a Fed, but I do know that in 2014 he was very, very close. So, like I said, I can't confirm or deny whether or not Pete Santilli is in fact on the Federal Bureau of Investigation's payroll, but, you know, you're known by the company that you keep.
Well, sometimes are, but also we run into the territory of guilt by association, which is not the American way. We actually do need evidence, documentation, and proof before we sandbag somebody. Now, some of the disputes that I've seen about the authenticity of the facts, despite, you know, it's all supposition, speculation. Nobody's actually produced any actual evidence to dispute anything that's in it. It's simply a disbelief. But this is the theory, provided it's fake. the FBI plant fake faxes on their own informants' computers just in case the informant gets hacked by Anonymous and leaks their personal documents. And this is to make sure that people think that that FBI informant is an FBI informant for a little bit of time, and once they claim it's fake, not one single person would ever mistakenly think they were an FBI informant from then on. You know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense why they would do that, why Santilli would fabricate a fax and leave on his own computer. More to the point, coming up with the simply the capacity to forge a document that well, to the point where the guy who does the designs for the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and also was paid to design the murals at the London Olympic Pavilion for the New Zealand Olympic team couldn't tell whether or not it was fake. All right, that's somebody who's very, very highly skilled in the trade, and I do trust his judgment. So far, nobody else has come out to actually have a look at these anomalies and explain them as they are. But in my experience, if you're committing a crime and want to continue to do so, the number one rule, and really the only rule, is to stay above suspicion. Because once somebody actually proves it's fake, and I've seen a lot of people try, then I'll actually take the tangent seriously. But till then, and I don't want to insult any of you guys, I'm reading a comment that I sent to somebody else who questioned this on YouTube. But till then, the only thing I've seen is people who don't know how to use digital design technology pore over the writing in the facts, making assumptions and deductions about the writing, the use of language, the wording, etc. But nobody's actually spotted a legitimate discrepancy in either the digital layout of the document or the wording, other than logically fallacious assertions based upon really poor logic and weak suppositions. Now, I invite anyone to prove that it's fake. If they have compelling evidence, then that's great. We can stop being wrong. But for now, we have Pete's personal documents, his address, his private information, his driver's licenses, his social security card, his usernames and passwords that were all leaked with the facts. To say the facts is fake, you'd also have to assume every single other leaked document is also a forgery, and considering all of those documents have been verified by Santilli himself as being legitimate, what makes anyone think he's telling the truth about it?
Well, I find it very convenient. Well, it's also very convenient that once shots are fired, he's safely in federal custody, isn't he? Where he, you know, no harm will come to him.
Oh, and also, if he was not arrested with the rest of them, it would have been the biggest red flag, and nobody would have been able to deny or think that he wasn't with the FBI at that point. But when he gets released, right, when he gets those charges dropped in the coming days, as I assume this will happen, I don't know, then we can kind of sit back and maybe put that that questioning to rest once those facts come in.
Well, like I said, Vinny, and I'm not trying to overcrowd your line here, but regardless of the fact if he is or is not on the FBI dole, what I really would like people who are listening to understand is that this bloodshed, this escalation, it should be laid at his feet. He is the one who has been escalating and needling this situation, and we as the alternative media, the true alternative media, need to make absolutely sure that this type of, I don't even want to say guerrilla journalism because it's not journalism, that this type of glory chasing that got a man killed, other people shot, is no longer tolerated in our circles. This is anathema, what this guy has done in the name of alternative media. It's anathema.
You are correct in your assertions, I think. And that's probably one of the most important points to really take along from this, is that it's not infighting if somebody actually is doing wrong, is it?
No. You know, and go ahead, Chuck.
Well, you know, that's precisely the point here. It's not about attacking him as an individual. I would attack exactly what is being done and what has been what has occurred here, because of this type of action. This is exactly, like I said, irresponsible. This is not journalism. This is not, you know, a presenting of information as it is. We do our best to do, those of us, you know, who have worked at American Freedom Radio, who do work at American Freedom Radio, there are many others out there who are doing their level best to report to you real information. Okay, not just out there trying to whip up things for the sake of whether it's their ego or their confidential informant bona fides with others. Either way, it's almost irrelevant. The damage is still done either way. Okay, and what we have here is someone who has acted completely irresponsible, and like Daniel has stated, and like your caller stated, and like everyone is well aware, there is at least one person dead, and you know what? This is not over yet either, all right? There may be more damage done from all of this irresponsible action. Okay, you know, if we're going to be citizen journalists, if we're going to go out there and try and be the alternative, then it might be high time for us to each stand up and make sure that we're not taking the very same irresponsible action that provoked us to speak in our own voices in a separate platform away from the mainstream alphabet soup, wherever it is, no matter what country you're in, it doesn't matter. This needs to be done. And you know what's funny about, you know, just speaking of corroborative language, I noticed that the exact type of language utilized, because, you know, the caller had mentioned this this attack on this YouTube guy that was recently posted. You know what? It is exactly the type of language that this person does. And I don't want to get into his politics. I don't know his personal life. But what I see is a toxic human being who should not be encouraged, regardless of what you think of the movement, regardless of what you think of the individuals on the ground. If you're looking at somebody who intentionally, for whatever their motive is, turned around and whipped up a situation to get people injured, killed, jailed, misrepresented, then what are we looking at but somebody who is, what do they call it? Gee, a troublemaker, a toxic individual. This is exactly what we're looking at. And we can go into the details and we can sit there and try and authenticate documents or invalidate them in one way or another. It's really not even part of the point when you can physically, visibly see what has been presented to people and its damage, the resulting damage.
Now, I want to hear from Alex on this, because what just happened is exactly what you said would probably happen and something that you were particularly afraid of, wasn't it?
Well, let me just make the points that are on my mind at the moment, because immediately what's on my mind in this last few hours is the Pete Santilli arrest. And what I want to see are pictures. Now, there's one person that was in the car. His name is Mike Bluehair, also known as Mike Smith. He's a former very close friend of mine. And I think that he saw this on YouTube. He felt very inspired. And I feel in general that he is gullible about a great many things. And so there he is showing up, and he's hanging out with Pete Santilli in the same car already. And so he's going to have footage of this probably uploaded by tomorrow. But I think this whole thing is staged. I think the arrest is staged. I have a very different view of the whole thing than other people on the legitimacy of Mr. Bundy to begin with. And so I believe that this whole thing has been a psyops to see how many loose cannons they can get to come out there, mentally ill people. And I actually have audio if you want to hear it right now. And maybe this was staged, but it still is audio of a man saying, I want to go and I want to kill federal agents. This is like yesterday. And whether these people are targeted individuals, I think that this has been a coordinated campaign using Pete Santilli as the spokesperson to see what type of loose cannons they can draw out to Oregon, people willing to drive out there, people that are feeling that they want to have a suicide by cop. And there are a certain amount of people suffering in our population that do succumb to really poor decisions. And so I think this whole thing has been a honeypot to pull those people in. So I want to see video of this arrest and other things. And maybe this is being done to remove Pete Pete from the situation and others from the situation because they weren't able to get the effect that they wanted right away.
So they basically, they had to close the, it's like in Looper. They had to close the loop.
Well, here's another question I want to ask. I want to see pictures of the body of this this man that was killed, the also known as Tart Man. And now this guy and John Ritzmeyer and a few others were all saying like the same line, like they were up there and willing to die for their beliefs. Now, normally you don't see so many people singing to the same tune. And what I tend to look for is patterns in language. And as I said earlier, when I came on the line, rapid response team, the exact terminology that Roger Marsh used when he came to Costilla County, where I was living off grid, where they were pushing us off grid. And so he came to see if he could start a militia using the term rapid response team and bring in Bruce Doucette. Eamon Bundy used the same terminology, rapid response team, like 5 days ago. And my hair stood up. They're using the same words. So I think that they're the same network and that this has got to be something that's happening all over the country. What people need to look out for are these supposed saviors coming to the rescue saying, hey, we're going to come into your town. We're going to organize you and we're going to direct you to go to your town hall and attempt to arrest your elected officials, claiming that you are the authorities. And I think that this is very careless to tell people that don't really know a full understanding of the law that they have the abilities to do these things.
Now,
but that's what they're doing.
What I also find interesting is these people say, I've sworn an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. However, right, that's not the oath you took. The oath you actually took is to both defend America, its Constitution, and uphold its laws against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In this case, the domestic terrorists happen to be government employees. Now, anyway, we have callers on the line, and I'm very sorry, callers, for not unmuting you or noticing it sooner. I've been very absorbed in doing a whole lot of thing back here. So we have a caller in the 484 area code. Caller, you are on the air.
My name is Tom. I'm in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Not all that far away from where Chief Kessler was in Gilbertson. That's a whole another issue. I gotta say, I was involved with Pete the last couple of nights. I've been associated with Mark Connors, the Mark Connors Show, and he's just had a large fight with Pete over Pete's frustration of Mark being critical over Pete's behavior. I think Pete is a colossal jackass. However, to put the blame for what has happened at Pete's feet is absolutely absurd. That's not
what we're doing at all. And I agree with you. That would be absurd to say that. Continue, please.
Pete, I saw the text that Pete sent out when he was arrested. His girlfriend Deb managed to get online after his arrest and stream briefly. She didn't know what to say, and then had a conversation with Mark, which I was pretty privy to. Mark Connors. While Pete was a liability for what was going on, I think it's absurd that he was arrested for the federal charge of resisting federal authorities in the execution of their duties or whatever it is, because reporting what's going on and being a jackass to FBI agents in conversation, that doesn't happen to be illegal in this country. I think Pete's arrest is probably on tissue thin ground since he was there streaming, and there are much bigger issues here going on than Pete being a jackass. And you got to recognize that. What are we going to do? Say that there were crisis actors going on there? There was one guy saying that he wants photographs and everything. there are people that are willing to stand for what's important in this country and willing to give their lives for it. And right now, under the terms of the Constitution, even as it is currently amended, the federal government has no authority to own indiscriminate lands within the states. There's okay. no constitutional authority for that. There is no constitutional authority for the government
excuse,
to write
okay,
laws.
Okay, Tom,
excuse me, sir. One second. I need to ask you a question, okay? I really do. You mean to tell me that you think that Pete Santilli's actions in encouraging and inciting people to behave in a certain way under the guise of being media out there means that he bears no responsibility in anything that resulted? Is that what you're telling me?
You're going to try to tell me that the feds reacting the way they did and LaVoy Finicum being shot has anything to do with Pete? If that's the case, every time we have a jackass, then the federal government can blame us for people being jackasses. No, Pete is not responsible for the outcome of things today. The federal government has far outstripped its authority. There was no need for a single life to be lost.
Well, let me ask you this, caller. Why was the federal government in Burns, Oregon, to begin with?
Because of abuses that go back all the way to the Civil War.
That's why the FBI was staging it at the airport?
The FBI was staging at the airport because they claim to lands and have abused the farmers and private landowners and ranchers in the area. The Sagebrush Rebellion goes back into the 70s. Are all these people just psychotic in your view, or do you know the Constitution? Are you familiar with the term Constitution?
I'm very familiar with the term Constitution, but what I'm asking,
terms of the Constitution, not just the word. Are you familiar with the Equal Footing Doctrine?
My question that you haven't answered yet is, why did the FBI stage at the airport to begin with in Burns, Oregon?
They staged at the airport because they are standing up for a federal authority that doesn't exist.
Okay, we're going to go to our next caller now in a 714 area code. Has been holding on there for nearly 20 minutes. So sorry to leave you late there, caller. In the 714 area code, you are on the air. Caller, are you there? Apparently they have hung up. That's unfortunate. For those of you listening now who have some commentary, information, things that you would like to bring on the show, the number is 218-339-8525, and I will go to your calls as soon as you ring in. I apologize for the delay. And if you are that caller who was on the line there for nearly 20 minutes, you can call straight back in from that 714 area code, and we'll bring you on the air. So let's have a look back on this. There is something fishy. Will we say that? Because the facts aren't in. Somebody is dead. Somebody is wounded. A number of people are arrested. There's suspicion about who shot first, and so on and so forth. Now, this reminds me of the police report. Sorry, not the police report. The mainstream media news report, I believe, from Channel 12 in Cincinnati, Ohio, where they reported that one of Santilli's listeners had rang in and sent a message to the chief of police saying that the time has come for patriots to draw their weapons first when approached by a police officer. Now, I don't want to go on a rant here about how much I hate Pete Santilli's listeners and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to do that. What I will say, however, is I have seen innumerable examples of people who are dangerous that listen to everything he says, do not question, and are willing to threaten, at the very least, and stalk people online. This is the kind of mindset that Santillia tracks, okay? Mm-hmm. Not entirely dissimilar from that scene in Batman, where Two-Face is trying to get some information out of a crazy person, who's exactly the kind of crazy person that the Joker attracts, right? That's what's going on here. I think he's the honey that leads the bees home, essentially. And the last statement I'll make, and we've got to get away from this FBI allegation, because, again, it's not about Santilli. A man is dead in this incident. And I think we really need to think about his family and his friends and the loss they have suffered. But to blame Santilli outright for it, I think the caller was right. We don't have the evidence to do that. However, Chuck does make a very, very valid point about... Actually, I think it might have been Daniel that made that point, that he does bear, perhaps, there's a possibility here, some responsibility for the incident as a result of his antagonization of the FBI that were in Burns, Oregon. And that's what I'll say there.
Well, now, let me ask you something, Vinny, okay? And let me ask everybody who is on this call right now. Each of us has an audience of individuals who hear some of the things that we say, okay, who listen to some degree to presentations we make. If we know that we are inciting a particular active kind of element in our audience, do we not have a responsibility as individuals who are making public presentations to speak to that, to keep it under control, to cause people to not, you know, listen, if we talk about the horrors of the world and we notice among our audience, because believe me, you know, he pays attention to his audience just like all of us do. I mean, you mean to tell me that we have no responsibility to them if we have incited something, whether we did it intentionally or not, if we notice among them that violent activity is being discussed because of the things that we have caused them to unify behind by our statements, right? We make statements, they unify behind them. We're seeing them get into the mode of, gee, and I watched this just a little while ago on one of his streams, these guys saying, I'm getting armed, I'm getting ready, I'm prepared, we're going to have to do it, it's coming down now. These are the kind of statements coming out of these people. Now, you mean to tell me that none of us would bear a bit of responsibility if we had whipped up our audience into a frenzy and also participated directly in making sure that individuals, and some of them, by the way, Alex, I absolutely agree with you, some of these people are suspect by their existence.
Listen,
okay,
Chuck,
the movement.
Chuck.
But regardless,
I
just want to know one thing from each of you. Do we not have a responsibility doing this, whether we're talking to 5 people, 500, 5,000, 5 million? Do we not have a responsibility for the things that we say and the things that result from them?
Only if we have integrity.
Well, there you go.
Absolutely, but it has to be noted how many things that Pete has said that are insightful that he's been allowed to get away with, and some of the other people and the other characters, and that's the main issue, is that it's like it's being promoted, and the amount of attention that the media has given them for weeks and weeks, that's also so bizarre and unnatural, all the attention they've given them. So
let me put a cap on it real quick, and then I'll be quiet. I can't lay entirely everything that happened at Jonestown at Jim Jones's feet, because at the end of the day, those people had free will to drink that Kool-Aid or not. Right. But he sure as hell had something to do with it.
Yeah, that's actually it. We had a comment on one of my Facebook groups today that asked, what is cult behavior? And I go, well, it's pretty straightforward. Have you got like a leader or something like that who you say is absolutely infallible, and you attack anyone that even so much as questions them and said that they're really great and fantastic, regardless of what evidence gets shown about how psychopathic and crazy and everything that they are? Cult behavior. All right? Pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny, I want to add one more thing. I'm just going to say this briefly. Every video that I did commentating on this, it was about 10 of them, they were all like demonetized. And I'm not crying about it. It actually kind of, though, got me really thinking, like, wow, how does Pete and his trolls have the ability to do that? Or was it done from the inside? And if it was done from the inside, are we dealing with some sort of cyber digital agent provocateur that has YouTube cyber police powers? I mean, this is bizarre. And what happened to you is bizarre. Thank God you got your channel restored.
Well, it's
but just, now he's making threats that he's going to go after all these people, and people are looking at this as a serious threat. And there's all these videos that have been attacked, and it's like, how does one person have that power? It really should open up a larger door to YouTube's participation in this, if there is any.
I also want to note that when you file a copyright complaint against someone on YouTube, you do have to sign a legal document asserting that this is absolutely 100% the truth and that you will absolutely be penalized by having your channel deleted, right? And you will be banned permanently from YouTube if you do it more than once. Santilli has filed not less than 7 disputed and proven false claims against my channel. Has his channel been penalized? No. Has his channel been taken down? No. Has it gained 20 to 30,000 subscribers? Yes.
Right. Well, I'll tell you that indisputably, a lot of these so-called free speech platforms, a lot of these so-called citizen-inspired platforms, everything from Wikipedia to YouTube, absolutely reek of a control system. And there is actually individuals who are engaged in control over Wikipedia pages. Okay, you need to really take a look at what's going on inside of these structures and who is really funding them and all that. Well, gee, that's where the trail has gone cold for other people trying to investigate this stuff. Okay, this has gone on for a long time. And yes, it does seem as though there is a favoritism paid to certain individuals who do either support the mainstream line of thinking, or individuals who seem to be saboteurs in their nature regarding being alternative thinkers, those with the craziest conspiracy theories that have absolutely no foundation in reality are allowed to spout off all day long. Those who want to be insightful and create ugly situations and incite individuals to action which is ill-advised, those people seem to be able to speak. When you're being responsible and you're actually striking at the very heart of the truth in a lot of cases, this is when you're being attacked. And this is when your posts are removed, damaged. Your ability to post on these allegedly public forums is suddenly curtailed in some way. This is the MO, and this is the way it has been for quite some time. So it's not even remotely surprising to me what went on. I tell you this, as soon as you started having your troubles, Vinny, interestingly enough, stuff that I had posted on my channel for years, and I do mean, 5-6 years, all of a sudden was being hit with copyright claims from undisclosed individuals and things like that. I turned around and dealt with each one of them, but suddenly I'm having to fill out paperwork basically online in order to defend myself. And meanwhile, I'm not even a highly controversial person, but I noticed that sort of started to happen as well. So I don't know if this is a new wave of this phenomena, but it's nothing new and it's not relegated to one individual.
Hey guys, so, I'm getting a new piece of information if you want me to share that with you.
Yes, please, go right ahead.
From rawstory.com, one of the most prominent Oregon militants fled home before his comrades were shot, arrested, or scattered during apparent ambush by law enforcement. John Ritzheimer, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran who has gained a high profile for his anti-Muslim rallies and threats against government officials, shared a series of Facebook posts that indicated he'd left the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge and returned home. Quote, FYI, I came home to Arizona to visit my family, end quote, Ritzheimer posted late Tuesday. Quote, the feds know I am here and are charging me with conspiracy to impede a federal officer. I need an attorney. My family needs help, and I'm hoping they grant me bail, end quote. That's the same charge that law enforcement officers have lodged against 6 other militants, including Ammon Bundy, Ryan Bundy, and Ryan Payne. Quote, I came home to visit my family, Ritzheimer said in a comment on his Facebook video. Quote, the feds know I'm here and are asking me to turn myself in. I need an attorney so I can get back to my girls, please help my family. Donations can be made at www.whatever.com. That's not the actual site. I'm just not going to share it. To help with legal fees. Thank you all in advance. I just want the country to live by the Constitution, and I just want the government to abide by it, end quote. Ritzheimer's close friend Blaine Cooper apparently vowed to a talk radio host close to the militants, Pete Santilli, that he would not be taken alive. That alarmed Santilli, who pointed out that women and children were at the wildlife refuge. And that's at rawstory.com.
Now, I also have a minute piece of transcript from Deb, who's Pete Santilli's helper, heard on the phone in the background of a live stream. I've just found this on Facebook here. I quote, I just talked to Blaine. Blaine said he was going to stay there and die. Quote, Lloyd Fannigan is dead. They shot him 3 times with his hands in the air and he was unarmed, end quote. Now, this is coming from one of Pete Santilli's people, so in terms of credibility, I can't bank on that one.
However, right. There are people making that claims on social media, and other people are saying, where are the links? Where are the links? So there seems to be an effort to push out that narrative without facts from what it looks like right now.
Let me just do this. I'm going to go to Santilli's, the Pete Santilli radio show live.
Now, I did hear her say that live.
You did?
Yeah, I heard her say that on a live stream.
Okay. But whether or not they said it, it doesn't necessarily make it true, as we've established earlier.
She was passing it on from something that she heard when she said on the live stream.
Okay, now we have currently a live stream, two of them, in fact, coming off of the Pete Santilli show YouTube thing. So Deb is obviously still around, still broadcasting and doing those things. However, we were unable to bring that live to air for you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry, though. I'm sure you can go to that live stream and find out for yourself, although I don't recommend it. but yeah, it's a little bit of a it's a little bit of a wiggly one. And
I think the story of, sorry to cut you off, but John Ritzmeyer is just as much an enigma as Pete Santilli. And before Pete came on the scene, he had my focus because I was looking at him and everything that he was doing and saying on Blaine Cooper's channel. It's like, you can't be a sane individual and think that what you're doing is sane and aligned with being a patriot. Your provocative, insightful action, even if you hate Muslims, it doesn't make sense. And then all of a sudden you get bored with that. Oh, all of a sudden you get bored one day. It's no longer working out for you. And you go with your friends, including the guy that was on this call, Mr. Lewis, who has featured many pictures with John Ritzmeyer. I don't know how people find people like John sane. They've never explained it to me, those supporters of the occupiers, how they think that that's patriotic to just believe mainstream talking points, that this is about a war with Islam. That has nothing to do with property rights. These people have never explained themselves for their irresponsible, childish, borderline neo-Nazi. And I'm talking about John Ritzmeyer. That means everybody around them says, you know what? This behavior is okay. It's not a big deal. It's free speech. It's insane. And it's all the hallmarks of a federal agent. If we just study John's actions throughout the summer and his appearances on CNN, that's not a regular person from the grassroots. I don't know how people think that this is normal. The thing is, we're dealing with, and I'll close here, we're dealing with a culture, Vincent, and others on the call that have made really good points that don't do research anymore. We're dealing with a culture, an ADHD culture, a McDonald's culture, a Taco Bell culture that believes everything that's coming across the newswire. And it's scary because this is a beta test for something later.
Okay, so let's think about this then. What can we do in order to help in this situation? I think that we're bringing to light some important facts and some important information that people need to keep in their mind. They need to keep this on the back burner so that when new information, more facts, etc., come out, you've got an appropriate context. All right, so we've explained to you the, or at least Alex has explained to you the modus operandi of informants, agents, etc. We've explained to you a little bit of the evidence about Pete Santilli. We've given you the facts on the ground, or at least the facts that have been relayed to us through mainstream media, some quotes from alternative media sources. And we have also named some of the people who were involved in the incident, the man who lost his life, and some of the people who were arrested as well. These are only a small batch of facts within a few hours of the incident actually taking place, and we'll be surely very keen to see how the story develops by tomorrow. Guys, do you have anything else you'd like to add here?
Chuck?
Well, I say again that it is incumbent upon those who wish to become a voice out there in the media wilderness to take responsibility for their actions and the things that they incite. It is that simple. And I feel as though, and I don't even like to use the word we, but I think that all of us who have some level of, and you hit it right on the head, Vinny, integrity in our beings, have to say something about this at this point, have to speak out against exactly the type of behavior that we saw out there. And honestly, you know what, Alex, I agree with you that there is a whole lot more than meets the eye regarding a lot of this stuff. I think that some well-meaning people that have some very passionate views have been sucked up into something else that is not anything like what they imagined. I think that that has happened alongside of some very serious control, which has been prosecuted against people that, like I said, were engaged in something that they thought was rather worthwhile. And I think that that one of those mechanisms that is used is the alleged, alternative media people that are out there just whipping up any sort of negative incentive, whether it's for profit to further their own names or because they are some sort of confidential connection to an alleged movement, to an alleged segment of society that needs to be monitored and set into a direction so that they can be easily collected and controlled. There's a lot of speculation in that statement I just made. I realize that. But one thing I want to make sure is said, that we all need to take responsibility for the words we speak and the things that we inspire and be mindful of that. And that's about all I can think of to say on this topic at this point in time. Until the rest of the details truly emerge, I don't want to pass judgment on the entirety of the situation, but I guarantee you as this continues to unfold, this is not a pretty situation, and this is not, as Daniel and I have stated when we talked to Jason Patrick, very early in this situation, and as we talked to others that were involved very early in this situation, this is certainly not the outcome that anybody who has a rational, sane, and decent bone in their body wanted to see. And that's it.
Yeah, and indeed, this is the entire thing. This is my entire intention behind doing that documentary on Pete Santilli, was to save American lives during this Oregon protest. That was my real and only intention. All right. Subsequent to that, it's simply to try and make sure that when people approach Santilli and they start to wonder who he is and they search, they'll be able to know, without having to endure the suffering and the pain that I and many others have endured in order to find out. This is the responsibility of an honest journalist. This is the responsibility of any patriot that takes being a patriot seriously, in the way that Jefferson took it seriously. He said that it is a patriot's duty to protect his country from his government. And I think we'd all be best mindful that the government is inside our organizations, it is inside our minds, It is inside our protests. And you can't go ahead and say, oh, I can't trust anybody. No, no, no. That's just paranoid nonsense. Before you decide to trust someone, find out if they are worthy of your trust first. That's all I'm saying. And that was the reason why I tried unsuccessfully to prevent the loss of American life in Oregon. I'm Vinny Eastwood from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. My guests also on American Freedom Radio that we have here tonight are Alex Anseri, Chuck Ocelli, and Daniel Lewis Crumpton. Gentlemen, if you'd like to go one by one and rattle off your websites, I'd also appreciate that much, so people can follow you as well if they've enjoyed your contributions to the show here today. Alex?
Yes, I'm remodeling my main one, but you can find my work over at youtube.com/AlexAnseri.
Until it gets taken down by Pizza Antelli. And Daniel Lewis Crumpton.
Yeah. You can find me at zenonthecar.com, which also is under maintenance, and zenonthecar, one word, on YouTube, and of course here at American Freedom Radio.
Would you be able to spell that for us, please?
ZENINTHECAR, Zen in the Car.
Excellent. And Chuck?
So I host the Ocelli Effect here on American Freedom Radio, so you can find me at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, as well as my own website, which is Ocelli.com. In case you don't know how to spell my name, it is O-C-H-E-L-L-I, and that's all there is to that. I'm also a blogger at ZenInTheCar.com as well. You can find me there at ZenInTheCar.com/TOE, I believe.
And he's also a movie star, starred in the film The Book of Ochi Lai. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Benny, for letting us barge in.
Well, you know, my pleasure. That sounded a little bit homoerotic, didn't it? Sorry. Okay. We are done for the night. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And let's hope that the truth comes out about this. Let's hope that some positive things can come from it. However, I am skeptical that that will be the case. When the sun rises tomorrow in America, more facts and maybe more bodies may await us.
It's going to be a different America, one way or the other.
Yes, sir.
Such is the burden of the responsibility on the alternative media that a lot of people do not understand. Is that we have to be here, we have to do our jobs, not because we are being paid to do it, but because we are compelled to do it, because it is the right thing to do, and we need no further justification. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. And that's all she wrote for tonight.